right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John. Gentlemen.
Hey now.
How are we?
I'm tired.
You're tired. You kind of have a weathered look around your eyes.
Woo.
You're like the Logan to Wolverine of John Burr right now. Is that analogy right?
That works.
My life is relentlessly bleak, just like the movie Logan.
And there's pus dripping from your knuckles.
Oh. Stephen Merchant making no jokes in my kitchen.
Spoiler alert, guys. I haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen it. I had a chance to see it. I enjoyed it.
Did you know? Yeah, I heard R-rated X-Men.
It's R-rated X-Men. I will say the one thing, and this is not a spoiler. I know John has expressed on our Patreon-only Slack chat, he did not like it very much.
No.
I will say it is the only one of the X... See, I don't really like the X-Men movies, and this is the first X-Men movie where I actually cared about anyone and felt any tension.
I think the actors are very good.
Yeah.
Except for Boyd Holbrook, who is just doing his same old spiel, but with a southern accent.
The accent was one one bridge too far.
But that movie was so hysterically brutal.
Yeah.
That every time you met a character, you went, ooh, so this person's about to die.
Yeah, well, it had the horror element of that.
It was a horror movie.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed it. Because seriously, all those other Marvel, the Avengers, the X-Men.
Not for you.
Boredom. Like vague. I like it for the comedy. Any of the action elements, I'm always bored.
Like those movies, though. This, however, also has that nebulous plot of what is happening and why, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it's like, yeah, there's a plot.
And also,
and if we can get to Canada, I've never heard this one before.
Apparently, the super nefarious bad guys very concerned about the border.
Yeah,
which I thought was
topical.
Strange. Like, oh, they'll murder anyone. But whatever we do,
Trump it up.
We cannot cross the border.
What if we just tell me the whole movie?
We gave you no spoilers.
What about that, you guys?
The bad guy ends up. I saved you. I saved you from a relentlessly bleak film.
I don't need to go watch it now.
The most amazing part is that they're the number one influence on the film is a movie called Shane, an old Western from the, I think, the 40s, maybe the 50s, starring Jack Palance, and I believe it's Alan Ladd. So not only do they quote Shane a lot, they also just watch Shane in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, they literally show the movie, and then the quoting might have been, again, a little too much. That's a lot of Wolverine talk.
Man, it was bad.
Let's move it to, I really enjoyed it. That's a thumbs up from Uncle Keith, thumbs down from Uncle John.
Keith is just
boys
glad
and girls
to have a respite from the baby dungeon.
Oh, I was just excited to be able to go see a movie. I skipped Russell Westbrook's 58 points on the soft Tuesday night schedule to go.
Three games. Get out of here. All those games started late, too.
Yeah.
I turned on my TV at 6, ready for like some Hawks or something.
Exactly.
Just sat there staring into the...
That is the wild thing. My routine is like, settle down for dinner, grab the baby after dinner. It's like, hey, boy, let's go downstairs, watch some basketball. And I turn on the TV, and there's nothing. It's just League Pass music. Nothing till 7 Central.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're ahead of ourselves. Breakfast, boys. Did we have it?
So I woke up a little late and ended up eating for the first time right before the podcast. Didn't go with traditional breakfast fare here though. Had some... waffle fries, loaded waffle fries from ML Rose, which is right around the corner from Keith's house.
Let me add some color to this story. As I'm about to leave ML Rose to head to the podcast, I get a call from Chuck, says, hey, yo, can you do me a solid? And I said, sure, Chuck, what is it? He's like, order me some loaded waffle fries right now. I'm starving.
Pretty. Was there no egg on there? You sent a picture out.
There was no egg. It was just melted cheese sauce, scallions, tomatoes, onions, bacon. And then it came with like a very thick ranch. It wasn't like
There's a thick sauce.
It was
sauce.
A jalapeno maple ranch.
There's a thick sauce that goes with it.
It was jalapeno sauce.
It was a masculine ranch. It was not, you know, built of weak things on International Women's Day.
May your first ranch be a masculine ranch.
So I had that, finished it in what only be considered record time. John watched me in abject horror.
It was really scary.
And then when I was done, I looked at him and said, I don't feel good. And he said, that was not right.
To his credit, we were in a hurry, and he did eat it in maybe 3-4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Massive heaping plate of food.
You can find it on our Patreon-only Slack chat.
That's right.
A picture of said food.
Yeah, we would never do a video. I think if there's one more horrifying watch than Logan... would be watching you guys
eat
food.
You guys have too much beard and have too much jowls to do a video.
John, did you also have said breakfast? I feel like you probably got up earlier.
So depressing. Yeah. I had two auditions this morning, so I had a, you heard of this, a Lara bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lara bar.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Some good energy, though.
Pretty bleak.
Lots of...
I needed it.
Lots of chia seeds.
So I tried, I was auditioned to play A, you'll like both of these, and I feel like only I can fit both of these characters. Sleazy alcoholic detective. B, homosexual flower shop owner.
You lean, that's kind of both of...
Yeah, yeah, like that is... You,
what can I say? The man's got range.
You've got range, dude.
Well, I would say that's a perfect descriptor for someone who's ever met John. It's like, imagine...
that this guy owned a flower shop, was gay during the day, but at night gambled and ran the criminal underworld as a private detective.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't strike me... You're not a beat cop.
No.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't... I think they might have a physical requirement for how fast you have to run a mile.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I'm never sure if Jerry Orbach can make that either, even though he wasn't a beat cop. But
hell, I don't think Mr. Big. I don't think Chris Noth can make
right.
it.
Right. Mm.
You know Richard Belzer's not making it.
Don't police detectives have like a mandatory retirement?
Only guy on Law & Order who's making it is Ice-T, and I know this because I saw him pass the treadmill test in Surviving the Game.
Well, my breakfast was something from John's horrors. He hates hearing about it. I had a handful of blueberries.
Mm.
Just, you know.
It's pretty great.
It's coffee. It's better than my Lara bar.
I think they're a superfood, right? Along with acai.
Acai fruit.
Acai.
All right, well, those were our breakfast. After our breakfast, come our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Also, is commonly.
Whoa.
Wow. Commonly?
Commonly.
I'll just go with commonly.
Get more
the first time.
Add more syllables every time you say it.
Yeah. It is usually the first time, sometimes the first time, we mention basketball.
You just turned into Billy Joel. Cadillac.
Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Well, we've been not ever speaking poorly on Gordon Hayward of the Utah Jazz. We always respect his game. We always feel like he's good. And the Jazz are good. However, I think on this podcast, we were once mistakenly, and by we, I mean me, call him the third best, most important player on the Utah team.
We've all piled on.
I mean, we've been there.
We got there.
We've talked ourselves into Gobert and George Hill being more important.
Right. So I think...
Certainly not Derek Favors anymore.
He...
my God.
GH up in the his house. I don't know why I said that, but he is having a fantastic year per 36, 23 points a game. He's just looking incredible and one of those like next level guys.
He's an all-star.
He's an all-star, and if he keeps progressing, it's possible that, you know, and with Kevin Durant out, maybe gets an all-NBA nod. Like
he really could. Well, so I think importantly, even better than those per 36, I think month of February, he averaged 25.5 points per game.
Oh, that's great.
Just straight up.
He could really ruin Paul George's whole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All-NBA thing.
Designated player
exception
thing.
Yeah, where he gets like $200 million.
This is tangential, but maybe Keith can explain this to me. So the Jazz didn't get that deal with George Hill done.
No, I think... So there was a thing where
the
Jazz had salary cap room where they could have extended, offered an extension to George Hill. And George Hill could have gotten paid a ton of money. I can't remember what it was, if it was like a three-year, $88 million extension, which for me is massive and way more than I imagined George Hill is going to get paid, but we don't know what the market's going to be. To me, that kind of signals that George Hill wants to wait and either see if Gordon Hayward is going to come back, or George Hill is thinking more about maybe I'll go join another team. And he's always linked to going back to the Spurs, who they traded, you know, draft day for Kawhi.
Well, Popovich loves George Hill.
But it's...
I think the Spurs thing is the real thing.
Well, so as far as I've read,
it's
going to be almost impossible for the Spurs to offer him any kind of decent salary. Like, assuming that Powell opts back in, which you kind of think he will.
Oh, that's so glorious if Powell ruins everything.
Is Parker still on contract next year?
I don't know. I can't remember. But I think he is under contract for next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think the George Hill thing that everyone
they
kind of assumes is going to happen.
Tony Parker.
It's going to be hard.
Scandal.
But again, a guy who hasn't made that much, you know, relatively money in the NBA, George Hill, seemed very surprising for me that he would turn down $90 million.
Oh, no, he's going to need to get paid.
Yeah, makes me think he's headed back to Eugenicstown.
Could be.
I'm telling you.
That's San Antonio for you newer listeners.
Mm-hmm. Noobs.
My apology goes to a fellow white man of Utah of one time, not anymore, Kyle Korver. When he was traded to the Cavs, we kind of mentioned that maybe the Hawks were just cutting bait at the right time. He had the league had passed him by, and they were ready to turn the reins over to, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kent Bazemore, who were doing fine.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Tim Hardaway Jr. particularly making himself a lot of money.
He's probably owed an apology from us.
Korver trade, but yeah. Kyle Korver is back as far as a shooter. Yes, as we thought, being around the gravity of LeBron James, he has blossomed again. I think he's back at the top of the league in three-point percentage. He had a long stretch where he was shooting well over 60% on threes with the Cavs. So, Kyle Korver, I'm sorry, you are still lights out, still a terrifying Buffy the Vampire-looking assassin.
Mm-hmm. I'm going bigger than you guys. I'm going on a global scale. I'm apologizing to planet Earth. Global warming has struck yet again, boys. Canceling a Timberwolves game.
Oh.
At a time when they needed to play the most. The ice underneath the parquet melted, and they had to postpone a game. And this really, the Timberwolves are probably already screwed, but this probably really screws them because this adds yet another back-to-back to their already devilishly brutal second-hardest schedule amongst the playoff teams. They're only three games out, but 12 of 17 on the road with 6 of 7 versus playoff teams. I think our Timberwolves dreams are dead. And I think global warming is to blame.
Also, feeling the sting of that cancellation are those people in fantasy basketball semifinals.
Oh.
I know many people. A lot of people had circled on the calendar that the Blazers had 5 games.
They were looking for that Shabazz Muhammad double-double.
Yeah, they had Blazers had 5 games that week. People were hoarding players and then losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all crucial. All you Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum owners.
It's what you get.
Even you Yusuf Nurkic owners.
Austin Crabbe owners. They're out there.
Well, anyway, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. And you can apologize to Alan Crabbe for calling him Austin next week.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Before we get to
I've been calling him Austin Crabbe for a very long time.
Really?
Yeah, that's the first time it's been corrected in many years.
Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to remind everyone that we are doing a thing that we started in February and we were keeping it going through March, where if you write a 5-star iTunes review, we will read it on air, give you a shout out, give you the opportunity to plug something or a little free advert for whatever you want. And we will read it as long as it is not horribly offensive. And now we have a few of those reviews to read for you right now.
I'll kick us off with one from, let's see if I can get this right, Shamyet. 5 stars, of course. I never ate breakfast until I listened to this show. Now I'm winning my league. Thank you, Shamyet.
That's a good one, Shamyet.
Or Shammy E.T. That could be the other one.
I think you're right.
It's probably Shammy E.T.
The two M's, the double consonant should have let me know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's hard with screen names. It's really hard.
I wonder if he's related to God, Sham God.
Mm. Or the Shamwell guy.
A hooker bit off his tongue.
Am I taking this next one?
You're number
one?
Two.
I'm number two.
Chuck learns to read with the long guy.
Best beards in the business. 5 stars from C.L. Ravioli, or more likely, Colravioli.
Yep. I think you're right, Keith.
My posse and I love this show. It helps me get my zen on and mellow, that's M-E-L-O, mellow during the stressful times at work. Hilarious, informative, and it feels like hanging out with your buds. There are no thorns.
Or your posse.
There are no thorns on this rose, capital R rose. Do yourself a favor and get your fill, P-H-I-L, of the Fast Break Breakfast Podcast today. Ooh. Signed, McGrell.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Thank you for that.
Loaded up that pun gun.
That guy knows what's going on.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, Chuck, can you get through this one?
Here we go. I famously sucked last week, but it was also tired and after a 4-day bender. So
here's the thing.
I may be able to read today.
Dear listeners, I even edited some of Chuck's reading last time.
To make it sound better.
No. And it even was still horribly uncomfortable to hear him try to read.
No, it was bad.
So, Chuck, do the long one.
Okay, here we go. I downloaded iTunes just to rate this. It's good. By Mitchell _GNG.
Grit and grind.
Grit and grind, baby. I own a MacBook and didn't even have iTunes installed. I took 2 minutes of my life and 197 precious megabytes on my hard drive. Maybe megabytes? Where is it?
Yeah.
Mega? don't know what's on my hard drive.
You are doing so well, Chuck.
to simply to review Fast Break Breakfast. I consistently listen to Dunked On, Zach Lowe,
Bleep,
Ringer, and Chris Vernon Show podcasts. I look forward to this as much as any of them. Let me give you a few bullet points as an outro. One, shout out to Chuck. I work for the California food truck, and my guys tell me Death from a Bun is on point. Two, I want in on the Patreon Slack feed. I'm also a cheapskate, and monthly payments are real. I can say that if added as an honorary member, your lives will be better. Can't broadcast any more details outside of the Slack feed. It's a true mystery curtain scenario. Number three, hashtag Ishplace30.
It's pretty good, Mitchell. Not bad from Chuck.
I didn't screw it up too bad.
I will say to Mitchell, sorry, we can't have any freeloaders on the Slack
chat.
Nah,
bro. No pay, no way.
It is a premium feature. And we have those wonderful people who are paying, I think it's $3 a month.
Three.
Which is like 50 cents a podcast.
You're killing it.
It's even cheaper than that, actually.
It is.
But I'm telling you, that Slack chat gets weird, folks.
Oh, all my late night debaucherous events get, we don't go into detail, but you at least know something about them.
There are private channels if you want to ask Chuck more.
Right.
Yeah, you can DM Chuck.
Yeah, you're allowed to DM. So yeah, you guys too can write those iTunes reviews. You write a 5-star, we will shout you out, and obviously it helps us, and we will read it as long as it is not horribly offensive. All right, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week?
I know we did a Heat podcast earlier in the week, and we talked Heat basketball, or you did, Keith.
Yeah.
I would like to celebrate the Miami Heat and their victories against Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not going to say it makes me happy. That
I think
Andrew
it was
Bogut,
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Andrew Bogut hurt his leg. Boo-hoo. Sorry, guys. He's out for the year.
LeBron didn't play.
LeBron didn't play. in the first game. The second game, he did.
Oh, yeah. It was full squad.
It was a full squad second game. Bogut broke his leg first minute.
The tibia. Fragile tibia.
So great. It was
fragile left tibia.
Dude needs more
left-leaning tibia.
He needs more calcium. It's like he's probably got that, like, old lady bone disease. What's it called?
Osteoporosis.
That's it. So my best is Deion Waiters with the clutch bank shot from 35 feet.
The backbreaker.
Looking like young boy D Wade in 06.
I like after the game he said, "Everyone knows I like taking those shots." Those shots being 9 feet behind the three-point line.
Right. Those shots being every shot.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. Deion's doing good things. I'm just happy the Heat are playing. It looked like they're cruising towards a playoff spot. They have a little confidence.
Close.
The things that are going on in the locker room make me feel good. Apparently James Jones has lost 40 pounds. I mean, not James Jones. James Johnson.
Oh, James Johnson.
He's lost like 30 pounds or something during
James
the season.
James Jones probably
James
shouldn't
Jones
lose 40.
Probably added quite a bit of
he's
weight.
He's probably fat. No, he might still be playing for the Cavs.
No, he's still
there.
Yeah.
So there's like a culture there where they're, you know, holding people accountable. There's nobody going out and partying every night. There's just a bunch of dudes who are out there trying to get to the promised land, which is the playoffs. And
best record in the NBA
post
going back to the arbitrary date of 23 games ago.
Right. No one does it better than we do.
Just a peek into the pre-production Fast Break Breakfast world. We had a discussion before the podcast started wherein Chuck tried to convince one of us to apologize to the Heat. We decided there was already too much Heat talk. Little did we know, Chuck already had a Heat segment scheduled.
I had one. Well, I was hoping that like somebody
would
come in and kind of like.
And there was a Heat podcast this week.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
They're
a fun
guess
team.
Guess where Chuck's from.
They are a big story.
In my defense, when they sucked, we barely talked about them.
Patently false.
That's true. It is also true.
My best this week is just like a brilliant sequence. I imagine most people have seen the Kawhi Leonard finishing sequence versus the Rockets.
Looks so good.
He makes a deep three, wrangles down the court, like seemingly telepathing like X-Men Nightcrawler, to slap to block a layup off the backboard, sealing the victory.
Not just any layup.
Oh, yes.
A leading MVP candidate's James Harden's layup.
Well, and he grabs a rebound.
All the while, yes, and he grabs the rebound, all the while maintaining like an Ivan Drago, John Wick level of stoicism.
Oh, no.
Quoth Ian Holm, an alien, the android and alien, I admired his purity. And the best part about that analogy, that makes the Spurs the Weyland-Yutani Corporation.
Which does fit into the
Which
eugenics.
Which is really fit into our, yeah. our plans. And I thought you were going to say the best part about it is he was immediately piss tested right after the game.
Really? Ah, didn't know this.
That. Yeah, yeah, no. After the superhuman.
That it was.
After taking the special, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, his high on life. I saw the joke. It was probably Snapple.
Yeah.
But so after he single-handedly, seemingly, wins the game with the go-ahead three, the block shot, get the loose ball, and then the inbounds where they couldn't foul him. It was crazy. Immediately after the game, they were like, you've been randomly selected to see if you're on performance-enhancing drugs.
We need to see if you have a second set of jaws in your mouth.
Yeah.
What was great is Kawhi went for like 34-10 and Pop when he was asked about Kawhi. He says, I try not to praise Kawhi too much. He's getting paid to do that.
Which is the best
way to go. Yeah, that's his job.
Although,
he's doing a great job.
Normally,
and he's getting paid very well.
I guess understated Pop is kind of stumping for Kawhi. The Spurs machine has started putting out a lot of Kawhi is MVP, right. and everyone's chomping on this narrative.
I think it's because Westbrook is so overwhelmingly the MVP that people are getting bored.
Well, no, I think
you're right to a degree, John. Right. I think it's swinging back, just the narrative is swinging.
Yeah, I just think this year kind of reminds me like when Steve Nash won and Kobe was kind of like destroying and putting up ridiculous numbers.
Not like this, Joe.
And he was seven. Well, you're right, but he was scoring way more points. He was doing 35 points.
Everyone go to Deadspin and read the Russell Westbrook pieces.
No, he's incredible. And I'm not saying he isn't. What I'm saying is when you're not a top three or four seed in the playoffs, it's hard to win the MVP. And that's historical.
He's averaging 45 points a game the last four games.
He's incredible.
And they're 0-4.
That's what I'm saying. And this has nothing to do. This is what basketball writers will do. They'll take the record and go, well, these two guys. And Harden's not playing.
Are you subtweeting me?
I am subtweeting you. But Harden's not playing significantly worse than him. Steve Nash played significantly worse than Kobe the year that he won the MVP.
But Steve Nash was white.
Oh, here we go. I love this talk. You want to talk about it? No, I think you're right. I think that was a novelty thing. I think we haven't had a bearded MVP in a while, so that may help.
We've never had a Ninja Turtle MVP. I can play this game with you.
So I don't know. It just makes me feel like if you're going to go with a story, it's usually the NBA writers who pick these MVPs go with the story of the season of the team, and as that player being their best player, helping them be better than another candidate, you know.
Look,
it's just easier math.
We thought the Thunder might be actually terrible this year.
They're not awesome.
No,
they're pretty awesome.
They're
all things considered.
As we record this on a Wednesday late afternoon, they are 35 and 29.
Right, and they are
35 and 29.
They are comfortably in
the
playoffs.
A Hawksian record.
They're not going to be. You know, they're not going to.
I dare say if Paul Millsaps was averaging a triple-double, he'd be in the MVP conversation.
Here, I was actually going to maybe bring this up later, but I
historic usage rate, historic assist rate, historic, at the same time.
Historic, yes, all these things, these fantastic numbers we've never seen. He's averaging 40, 10, and 9 with two steals since the All-Star break. My question is, if, and I don't know the answer to this, if the Thunder, say if John Wall was on their team, would they be worse than 35 and 29?
Yeah.
I think so.
For sure. Now, here's my question.
But how much worse?
If James Harden and Russell Westbrook switched teams, who would have them? Would the seasons be similar?
That's a wonderful question. I think if you put Westbrook on the Rockets are worse by a good deal.
Right. And that's something that I kind of think, by a good deal. I
guess I disagree with that.
No, that's fine. I think a lot of people will disagree with that.
Yeah, I think if Harden goes to if some weird alternate universe where Harden stayed instead of Westbrook, that team is about the same.
I agree.
I think they are better because Westbrook's assists, for me, don't necessarily, this might be too nebulous, but they don't necessarily lead to players performing better.
Right.
His assists are, I've done everything I can possibly do, and now I cannot score. Or it's best for me to get, like, everyone has collapsed on me, I can give you the ball. Where I think, which is also, I mean, obviously similar to what Harden does, like the drive and the kick. Mm-hmm. But I think Harden's game is more prone to setting up his other players to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the usage rate.
He has shooters around him.
Right. No, that's true.
Right.
But I also think it's possible the usage rate Westbrook's usage rate is so high, and it's very similar to late years Kobe, where I think he makes his teammates not as good because right. they don't know when they're going to get the ball. They don't know how they're going to be involved in the game. And so my wonder as a basketball fan is, okay, he scored 58 points in a game and they lost. Would if he would have scored 30, or if like if Westbrook this year was averaging 20 points per game and 7 rebounds, 7 assists, would they, you know,
how much better would they be?
Wouldn't they still be 35 and 29?
Yeah, probably,
if not better, because I think, you know, these guys who aren't as good but like will have a bigger role in the offense, and it's, you know, I don't know. That's what I think.
But I hate to break up Keith's wrong-headed pity party, but I hear a sound from over the moors. Peter bouncing Dink. Off the waters.
Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter
Dinklage. Dinklage, oh. Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
A game
Peter
of Dinklage. Scones.
Ooh, a surprise.
Popping up in a steak and eggs.
I love it.
So Keith has referenced Westbrook's mighty 58 in a woeful loss. Well, boys, 10 players have achieved such a feat. Where we're looking at, well, they haven't achieved 58 and a loss.
Okay.
But Westbrook has joined, I guess this is an elite, like a double-edged elite, of he's amongst the 10 highest point totals put up that resulted in a loss.
Oh, okay.
Now, some of these players did this more often, but only 10 players have done this.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys take cracks at trying to name these 10 players. The first one to have three strikes is out.
Okay. The game is name the 10 players who have scored
the most points and lost.
Can you give us the lowest cutoff?
The lowest cutoff is 56 points.
So these players have scored 56 or more points in a loss.
Yep. Westbrook ended up around, let's see here. He tied with someone else for the 6th most points in a loss.
All right. Who's going
first? Playoffs or regular season?
It's either.
Okay.
Chuck, you want to go first?
Man, this is hard, but I'm just going to throw... So we have to just pick a name?
Yeah, and these aren't... This isn't hard.
Right, okay. So, Gilbert Arenas.
Okay, you have made this hard.
That's a wild guess, but I love it.
That's the first strike.
I will go Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes, who did it 10 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 78, 72, 70, 67, 67, 65, 63, 63, 62, 61. I guess that's going to happen when you average 50 points in a season.
Yeah.
Right. Allen Iverson.
Kill yourself. Strike two.
I was going to go Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
All right.
Three times.
I don't know why I didn't go with the easy ones.
Fuck.
I know. You're right.
Sorry.
All right.
61, 63, and 64, that 61 being the only playoff one against the Celtics in his rookie year. All right.
Ball's on your court, Chuck.
Kareem.
What is wrong with you?
These are all fine guesses.
No!
These are all great scorers who's played on, you know, teams that might have sucked.
All right, Chuck loses. Go ahead.
I lose.
I was going to go Kobe Bryant.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Kobe! Will... What is wrong? 58 versus the Bobcats. I just had a... You had a chance to say LeBron.
Yeah. LeBron's on there?
Yeah.
LeBron, when did he score?
Second year versus the Raps. Before the Heats. Before he was on the Heat, so he probably didn't exist to you.
I'm trying to think of some of the others.
These are all... Those are all players that scored a bunch of points. Like, none of them scored...
You had the opportunity to say the three most obvious.
Yeah. I just went with the three most obvious without even having to dive a little deeper.
Game theory even tells you got to get those guys off the board. Too,
I know, Jay. But sometimes.
The others, well, Keith ended up, we have half of them.
How about David Thompson?
That's correct.
Really?
Yep, 73.
That was a loss that game?
Yep. That's when he scored, he shot 13 for 14 in the first quarter, the record that still stands.
That's wild.
Similarly, George the Iceman Gervin, 63 versus the Jazz, lost by 21, the largest margin. So that's amazing. Was the final score like 84 to 63? I don't understand how that happens. one of my favorite ones, Bernard King, scored 60 on Christmas Day versus the Nets and lost. Boogie, you guys should remember this one, 56 in that double OT game that he fouled out in.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the strangest one. I'll give you a hint. You guys want to do this? Maybe Chuck, we'll see if Chuck can steal this.
Yeah. Suspense.
Played for the Bucks. Made a few all-star teams.
Ray Allen, Vin Baker.
I was going to go Michael Redd.
Michael Redd, 57 Redd. Versus the Jazz.
Oh, geez.
An incredibly dominant performance by Keith on this one.
I'd much rather get the, like, difficult one, that one difficult one, than
Kareem. Well, you didn't get any, so.
I didn't get a single one.
I know what you're saying.
I'd rather...
Do I feel good about saying Michael Jordan and have that answer be right?
Right.
I do, because I crushed you, Chuck.
Beat me.
Annihilated
handed,
you.
Handed me my ass.
Let's go to
the longest and loudest bleep we'll ever have on the show.
My steak and eggs. That was a great game of scones. Thank you,
John. It was. Thanks, John.
My steak and eggs best thing was the Tyler Ulis, Isaiah Thomas.
Incredible.
Double feature. First, the most adorable jump ball you'll see in your whole lives.
Mm.
It was like cute. Church League, 5'6" versus 5'9" or whatever they are. So they got, you know, that was the jump ball. But then the end of the game, the Suns clutching victory from the jaws of defeat with the Eric Bledsoe driving the court, making the layup, the game tying layup with 4 seconds left. And then the turnover on the inbounds pass, because there was no timeouts, Tyler Ulis dribbling it out and launching the game-winning three. I think might have been my favorite basketball maybe moment of the regular season so far.
One of the great endings you'll ever see.
Yeah, normally we don't get that because there's way too many timeouts, which is a flaw the NBA should address. End of basketball
coaches
games.
Have gotten better about knowing when to foul and instructing their players when to foul, et cetera, et cetera.
It was a choke job by the Celtics, who I believe missed two free throws.
Specifically Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, two of their four missed free throws down the stretch, allowing the Suns to stay in it. Smart play by the Suns when down two, just going for the easy tie, driving straight to the bucket. Eric Bledsoe, good job there. Not, you know, forcing up a tough three-pointer for the win, and it all worked out. That was an exciting Sunday, first of all. Well, I think we had Glenn Robinson 3 hitting a game winner for the Pacers.
It also broke Isaiah Thomas's mind. I don't know if you read about the aftermath.
I didn't, but I mean, I watched that replay so many times. I watched it when the Titanic Hoops account added the My Heart Will Go On music to it. I mean, just over and over and over, watching all the replays, poor Isaiah Thomas being in the throng of celebrating Suns bench and having to meekly walk back to his side. Oh, man, I watched that video so many times. So that was definitely my best thing. What's the opposite of your steak and eggs, your cream of wheat? What is your cream of wheat worst of week?
You want to stay on that Thunder tip?
Yeah.
You want to blame somebody else for the Thunder's woes?
Who is it going to be?
It's your moon and stars, Keith. Your Maori warrior, your Dothraki king, Steven Adams.
I think this is like when that Dothraki guy got the blood poisoning.
Yes.
And he's just wilting away.
Good Lord.
I'm worried Steven Adams has his adamantium is leaking inside his body.
Steven Adams has not taken the Taj Gibson trade and the Enes Kanter returns very well.
Looks
and bad. That last game that they should have won after that epic performance, Steven Adams pouted his way through 25, 26 minutes and took one shot.
I think Steven Adams has scored 2 points in 3 of his last 5 games.
What is going on?
In the playoffs last year, it looked like he was going to make such a big leap.
Yusuf Supercop Jr. Nurkic owned him.
And then even the beginning of this year at times, like there was a couple of months where he just seemed like, yeah, this guy's great. Great center, great defensive center. He scores.
Perhaps it's time to realize that his offensive boost was as a result of Russell Westbrook's greatness.
Mm. Could be. Or maybe Russell Westbrook's increased scoring load as he keeps ramping it up even more and more is having the deleterious effect on Adams' game.
His other teammates are scoring. The other parts are scoring for the Thunder. He's not even shooting.
I think it's like the FX original show Legion, which I quit watching. No, sorry, I said that wrong. Taboo.
Oh, yeah. Taboo.
Like the FX original Taboo, where one of the characters was slowly being given arsenic in his ale. And again, not great.
Yeah.
So I did think, yes, it's a good point. I think Adams.
They should have had me with Tom Hardy and Top Hat, but they didn't.
Overwrought. I will watch an overwrought program, but it was boring. Although I did find out it's only 8 episodes, so I might revisit.
Oh, you might have me there too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The British format.
Yeah. I could do 8 episodes almost anything. But
Just a little tea time right there.
My worst thing is we haven't mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies. We did delve into the Heat a lot.
Jesus.
I'm going to keep talking about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Are we going to shoe the epilogue this week? Because I'm not ready to talk about it. I'm just going to thank our patron supporters in lieu of
the Memphis Grizzlies rolled out a lineup against the lowly Brooklyn Nets. And this is my worst thing for several reasons. One of them is it is rare when you hear something and your initial reaction is, that is a horrible idea. What in the world are they doing? And then you have to sit and watch for 2 hours the whole time it reaffirming the, in my mind, the obvious, like...
Fizz's crusade to, like, show it, Lent, throw his support behind Chandler Parsons is killing me.
So, to those of you who don't follow the Grizzlies closely, the Memphis Grizzlies adjusted their lineup as they'd been hinting, Coach Fizdale had been hinting they were going to do. The obvious answer is to not play Chandler Parsons, who is probably the worst player in the NBA right now. However, no, they doubled down. They put Chandler Parsons starting. They benched Tony Allen and put in Andrew Harrison, who might be the second worst player in the NBA.
Really good at fouling.
Andrew Harrison and Chandler Parsons are the two worst shooters in the NBA for people who have shot 200 times, which is like a regular amount of times to shoot. Chandler Parsons shooting 34%, up to 34%.
I don't think...
Andrew Harrison, 31.9%.
I don't think Fizz is going to be attending any Sloan sports conferences.
So that is two wings who cannot shoot at all. And then they benched Jermichael Green for Brandon Wright. Friend of the program, Brandon Wright. So the Grizzlies started two centers, two guys who cannot shoot, and then Mike Conley.
And, and thusly lost to the Nets.
And they did this against the Nets, who I think they were thinking we could do whatever we want against this team. This is a team early
Hubris.
In the year.
Bruce!
I know, you know, it feels funny to say, yes, they had lost 16 of 17.
Mm-hmm.
But they played hard early in the year. They just gotten Jeremy Lin back. Again, this is the team that tries somewhat to just roll out this horrible lineup. They didn't even play James Ennis in the game. They played Tony Allen. They gave up 68 points in the first and third quarters combined. 68 points. Tony Allen played 50 seconds of those two quarters. And I'm not saying I am the world's, one of the world's biggest Tony Allen apologists.
You are.
Well, I've always long held the belief that I know if you are an intelligent Grizzlies fan, I can gauge it. There's a litmus test. Do you think Tony Allen is important to the team's success?
Right.
If you don't think so, you don't know what you're talking about.
No.
But, and I do, I've recognized some problems with Tony Allen's play. It has not been great. But.
Problematic as it might be, it doesn't compare to the two worst shooters.
It's way better than Andrew Harrison or Chandler Parsons. Like, Zebo, I think, played 17 minutes. So Zach Randolph got benched 17 minutes. Or 22. Tony Allen, 17 minutes. And then James Ennis, none. It's just nightmarish. I can't explain it. So then, now Fizdale has come out and said that he initially said he was going to stick with it for a few games and see what happened, which is just pure madness. Like you can't
you
start
lose
a team
to the
this
Nets,
bad. Yeah. In the Nets game, they actually, the Grizzlies went 7-for-7 on three-pointers in the first quarter and was tied 34-34.
And what did they score? Like 120-something points?
Oh yeah, they gave up 100 over 120.
It's one of the worst games you'll ever see.
There's just something so discouraging when 10 minutes before the game you say, "What? This is a horrible idea. How could this ever work?" And then you watch the whole game being like, "Oh, and they're just not going to address it. They're going to keep doing it and we're going to lose to a horrible team." So, the Grizzlies, I did notice today on thanks to Basketball Reference, Grizzlies have five shooters shooting under 38%, which is the next closest team only has two, and that's not even counting Wade Baldwin, who doesn't have enough shot attempts to qualify.
That's like University of Memphis numbers.
Yeah, 30% of the Grizzlies roster is shooting under 38%. So again, I've been crying the sky is falling all year, and I've been wrong.
You're not wrong anymore.
This last week was dark, and then the whole as John said, them forcing these Chandler Parsons minutes. They keep talking about, like, we have to play him because he's our best chance to succeed. Any hope for any postseason stuff depends on Chandler Parsons getting better. That is such a farce of an argument. Like,
this isn't quite a turkey bacon conspiracy, but I think that Fizz does indeed admire Chandler Parsons' game. But I think he means, like, having sex with women game.
He did.
Not playing basketball game.
Fizzdale gives some good quotes. I thought this quote was kind of, I don't know, icky?
Brotastic.
It was very brotastic, where Fizdale said, "If I was single and looked like Parsons, I'd date a lot of girls too." It's like, meh. Really, coach? Like, you know.
Mar-E-A-N.
I know one. This is probably going to get bleeped, but Fizdale's wife is so hot, so I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I mean, Fizdale is always so, seems so well-spoken, so well put together, so active on social causes. I just hate hearing the, if I was a good-looking dude, I'd bounce around a bunch of ladies.
Yeah.
Like, that's not behavior we celebrate.
No, also,
typically. I mean, Max.
I just want to know if he was the worst player on the team, would he bench himself?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, why isn't the Grizzlies' success tied to, like, what if we get James Ennis? Like, you could say, our best hope for the postseason is getting James Ennis to an all-star level, which is, I guess, a factual statement.
Right.
It has as much truth as saying, let's get Chandler Parsons to a all-star level. James Ennis is way closer to potentially being an all-star player.
Would you rather have a potential 3-and-D wing out there or a vacuous white hole?
Well, I mean, I think they've got some sort of bias in what they've, they've bought this cow. You know, and it seems as if they're trying to
Milky
talk
White ain't giving milk, Chuck.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying.
That's a Sondheim reference.
Really? Jeez. Our podcast is awesome.
The Demon Barber.
So we got a guy who, the front office spent more money on this guy than probably any free agent. What was the other another big free agent?
He's the biggest failure
ever.
Because he's a max contract.
I'm taking the Sondheim thing to its logical extent. He's now the Demon Barber for me forever.
Yeah. So that was the Grizzlies epilogue.
We're done with that.
I guess we won't talk about the Grizzlies anymore. Other than they got a toughish schedule. It is a homestand, but
it's a really tough schedule.
What a nightmare! I mean, why would you keep playing these lineups that have no chance of succeeding?
Right.
And it seems like Zebo, free agent, end of the year. Tony Allen, free agent, end of the year. This smelled like, our season is over, not we're building towards the playoffs.
Yeah.
This was like, our season is over, let's play the guys who are under contract for next year, no matter what it looks like.
Mm.
So, I hated it.
So, my worst is Bob Myers, who's the GM of the Warriors, was quoted in saying, "We've got two guys with shoe deals bigger than what we pay. They play for us as a hobby," which is so insulting to labor.
Light years, bro.
What's that?
I said light years.
Light years.
Hashtag light years.
So to me, it's sick that we look at a team like that and we go, man, it's great that those superstars in their prime are making less money than they should for the team, because ain't nobody on the planet paying less or paying more taxes than they should. None of these billionaire owners of multi-companies that own these basketball teams.
Watch out for them multi-companies.
Those multinational companies. To have them want to, kind of flaunt the fact that they're not paying people market value. To me, it's like Hardy saying, hey, we pay our people $8.50 an hour.
I am.
It's
kind of like going like the leader of the free world's like, I'm too smart to pay taxes.
Exactly. It's a perversion.
I was going to say, Chuck, I'm pretty much a socialist.
Right.
You took that quote a way different way than I would have interpreted that quote.
I just didn't like the quote.
I think he was making a joke that these guys make tons more money even off the court than they're paying them.
Right. And I'm not saying that that's not the case. LeBron makes...
I don't think he was making
some
kind of... His
shoe deals are incredible. No, but it's
statement
like...
on the value of the worker.
But that to me is something that we will take and laugh at. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. They do make more money. So why are they making so much money with shoe deals? Because they're really good on the court. And why aren't they being paid properly on the court? Well, it's because we have a weird CBA that, punishes teams for having good players. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's... I hate the 1%. That's what it boils down to. That's basically me. It's not really well thought out, but me being mad at rich people.
I'm more angry at healthcare executives. That's more my thing.
Which I'm sure.
And I am so incredibly uninformed.
Chuck's potato blight upbringing just came roaring to the forefront.
I
have unintelligible rage.
That's all that was. I don't know. It was just I read that and was just like, that makes me angry because that. And it's the GM. It's not even the owner. Like, if the owner would have said it.
But, well. That was those were long steak of eggs
we got
and
into
cream
it.
Of weeds. We got into some things.
We're skipping the hash browns course.
We even discussed some things. I will say, I guess as we quickly, a couple bullet points, because I do feel bad. We didn't mention the Wizards last week. I will say one of the big winners so far of the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Bogey Bogdanovich is incredible.
He's killing it.
And this isn't a trade move, but Jan Mahinmi coming back from injury. supplanting Marcin Gortat and looking good.
Jan Mahimi.
7 steals the other night.
Do you know, here's an easy game of scones for you and John.
No, it won't be easy.
Gilbert Arenas.
Jan Mahimi, this is from Zach Rosen on Twitter. Jan Mahimi, one of 3 centers to record 7 or more steals in an NBA game.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes, and?
Nerlens Noel.
David Robinson.
Yes, sir, Chuck.
Booyakasha!
Chuck is back. So
Nerlens coming, y'all. Highest steal rate for any center. Nerlens playing very well for the Mavs, by the way.
And one of those, from our par fadeaway from last week, we were talking about those East races are heating up. I mean, those 8-seed races are heating up. The Eastern Conference, all the teams outside looking in, the Bucks finally woke up. Thanks to our boy, future Grizzly
Malcolm
Chris Connaughton. Malcolm Brogdon playing well. The Hornets have finally come out of their tailspin. The Heat are bearing down on them. And correspondingly, the bottom of the East has started losing. The Pacers are losing. The Hawks are losing. The Pistons are losing. The Bulls are losing. So things are tightening. It's getting exciting. And then same in the Western Conference, where, again, thanks to Nerlens Noel, the Mavericks are playing well. The Blazers, led by the Yusuf Nurkic acquisition, are finally approaching, you know, they're playing 500 ball over the last, like, maybe 18, 19 games or something.
If only the Jazz could have found a way to make those two beautiful passing big men work together.
You mean, the Nuggets.
Nuggets.
It'd
have been beautiful.
Yeah.
Play them at guards. That's their best point guard.
Yeah.
Is Yusuf Nurkic and Nikola Jokic.
Let's move to the awards segment of the program. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes. This is given to the worst performance in a box score, based heavily.
How was it this week?
On shooting performance.
I didn't notice as many as I usually do.
It was a 6-day week because we came out on Friday last week. We're coming out on Thursday this week. So only 6 nights to choose from. You will not be disappointed. We have 3 nominees. Sweet Lou Williams, who automatically is 6th man of the year because he got traded to the Rockets.
Yeah.
How does that work again?
He
was not a candidate when he was on the Lakers. He plays 5 games on the Rockets, and he's now the leading candidate for 6th man of the year. Mm. Because I guess you transfer his stats from the bad team. It doesn't make any sense, people.
Yeah, he's going to be coming up.
This is NBA groupthink. I've heard every writer say that Lou Williams is leading 6th man of the year candidate over Eric Gordon. Guys, wake up.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Anyway. Lou Williams, 1-for-10. Rockets teammate Ryan Anderson, honorable mention, 1-for-10. And Nick Batum, who has a pretty good streak of honorable mentions going, 3-for-15. We have 3 nominees this week.
Worse than that, huh?
Chronologically, as they occurred during the week. Number 1, Klay Thompson, in a loss against the Bulls, 5-for-22, 13 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 turnovers. That's not good at all.
Awful.
Deion Waiters. In the Heat's only embarrassing loss of the last 23 games, losing at the Magic, largely because he was 1-for-11, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover.
Back to the Heat, Chuck. Does it concern you that the Heat seem to go the way of Deion Waiters? Is that a good or bad sign? It's
the best sign ever.
All right. Is the harbinger of success or failure. Also, our 3rd nominee, Andrew Wiggins, ender himself a loss at the Spurs. 6-for-24. Bryant-esque.
That is Kobe.
17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 turnovers, 5 fouls. So we have Klay Thompson, 5-for-22, 13 points, nothing. Deion Waiters, 1-for-11, 3 points, nothing. Andrew Wiggins, 6-for-24, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 turnovers.
Klay took my baby away.
I'm a fan of high volume crappery. I think 1-for-11 is a little light on my attempts.
Might be because he plays for the Heat.
I traditionally will go for 4-20.
I agree.
4-for-20 or higher, and Clay's got 5-for-22. Well,
and really, for Deion Waiters, that's him recognizing that he wasn't having a good day and slowing down.
That's what I'm saying. That is like him using extreme caution.
I think it's Klay Thompson in a walk.
Yeah, he wasn't singled. You know,
I would say all these guys this week really did not do anything else to help their cases.
No,
it was only shots and points.
Yeah,
the Wolves were in that game though against the Spurs.
I mean,
they pissed it away.
Warriors were in the game against the Bulls. I think.
Yeah, but the Warriors are supposed to be in that game.
Do we have an official vote? Does someone have an official vote?
I'm going Klay. They lost to the Bulls.
I say the same thing.
So Klay, okay. Yeah. I'll I don't know if it doesn't feel unanimous.
I mean, Wiggins is right there.
I might throw mine to Wiggins, but
that's a 14-point.
So congratulations, Klay Thompson. You are this week's Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. I will say Andrew Wiggins in his 6-for-24, 17 points. He has a negative game score on Basketball Reference.
Ew.
It is only the fourth negative game score for any player who took at least 24 points.
24 shots.
24 shots.
Wow.
Chuck, your game of scones.
Oh, God, I'm not doing this
No,
again.
I'm kidding.
I'll never do it again. Gilbert Arenas.
The other three are Richard.
Who is some of the other guys? Kareem.
Richard Jefferson on the Bucks in 2009.
Whoa.
Jalen Rose on the Bulls in 2003.
Was that when Kobe scored 80 on him?
No, that was he was on the Raptors then. And then Ron Harper on the Clippers in 91. So Andrew Wiggins.
You could have given us 4,000 guesses.
Know, I want to defend my earlier Game of Scones performance.
Please don't.
Traditionally, Keith makes the most absurd lists. You put
you were
three
just
of the
trying
best
to hit those triple 20s.
I was,
and I was just throwing 20s. It for the big spot.
He was just trying to hit the I was trying to hit the bullseye and I missed.
All right. So
I was trying to set you guys up for like just nailing them. Chuck comes out with Agent Zero. I think if I'd given him one more, he would have said Javaris Crittenden.
I think in my head, it was just like they have to be bad players because nobody scores 50-something points and loses. But apparently every great player ever
How
does.
Many times did Gilbert Arenas score 50-something points?
I'm sure.
A few.
He
had 60 once, I think.
Yeah, he absolutely did. But I think all of these guys, with the exception of Michael Redd, are guys who did it, you know, pretty regularly. And
as regular as one
we
does.
Still talk about Game of Scones. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Par fade away. No Grizz epilogue. If you want the Grizz epilogue,
God, no.
Dial it back 20 minutes. par fadeaway this week, I will say, mild announcement for anyone in the Nashville area who is a Grizzlies fan. This is a time-sensitive thing. We are taking a bus to the Grizzlies game on March 18th, and there is still time, I think, until Thursday to buy a ticket, a seat on that bus. So just go to facebook.com/... I think Grizzlies Nashville. Anyway, search Grizzlies Nashville or go to @GrizzNashville on Twitter and see some of those details. There you get a t-shirt and a ticket to the game along with your bus ticket. So anyone in Nashville who wants to ride to the game on Saturday, March 18th. Also, our next watch party will be before that on the 15th, March 15th at Double Dogs, Sylvan Heights for the Bulls game at 7. You guys got a par fadeaway?
Yeah. I kind of want to watch the Grizz get back on track because their favorite team, the Clippers, are coming to town.
It's going to be a street fight.
It's going to be a street fight. It's going to be a brawl.
Give Z-Bo the start for that
It's going to happen.
If they're going to bitch Tony and Zach, what's the point of even playing the Clippers?
They're doing it on March 9th, which is Biggie's birthday, so I'll be smoking hella dank and watching basketball.
I'm going to use my parfait away to thank some of our patron supporters.
Now we're talking.
This is our from the tier producers produce. Let's give a huge shout out to Ian Carmel.
Yes.
Ian.
Ryan Darling.
Yes.
Paul Grawmans.
Yes.
The one, the only, Damon Rangula.
Overrated.
That's my dude.
Chris Howell and Joshua Herberson. Thanks, guys. You make the show happen. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, we love you guys.
We appreciate you guys.
If any of you guys want to support our show like these fine gentlemen have, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast.
And the great thing, too, about the Patreon is that those guys really know basketball, and they kind of keep us on our toes and
give
us things
to talk about.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, they're literally producers because they keep our heads in the game, and they're really great. So shout out to all those
guys. It's a great group of guys and gal.
And gal.
Yeah.
And so, which, with a new addition of a female, I've started editing my nightly debauchery.
That isn't what you signed up for.
That's cool. Well, Jim,
I edit nothing.
I edit nothing.
I've perhaps said more foolish things.
But again, we're always looking for more people to join our Patreon group. So patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right. You can follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. Like us on Facebook. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being TNG. Fast break, man. You understand?